Okay, great. So again, this is Julie Harris. Call reluctance or call avoidance is the topic of this call. So again, it's okay if sometimes you have call reluctance or call avoidance. What's not okay is for it to affect your potential income. That's not acceptable. I want you to write this down. This is an absolute mantra, okay? Success, and I'll read this a couple times. Success comes from doing the things I don't want to do when I don't want to do them at a very high level, okay? Success comes from doing the things I don't want to do when I don't want to do them at a very high level. Sounds like the occasional prospecting day. Again, I don't want this call to be negative, but all of us have gone through this. For some of you, this call, the topic of today's call, is the very reason you signed up, and that's okay. So again, success comes from doing, underline that word, doing the things I don't want to do when I don't want to do them at a very high level. Okay, I've had plenty of days, guys, when Tim and I were prospecting regularly, doing all of our deals. You know, believe me when I tell you, there were plenty of days where I just would rather jump off a cliff than call another expired, you know? But one of the reasons why we were able to sell 100 houses a year was because we were willing. We decided, and you guys do need to make a decision. Some of you guys are already there. Make the decision that you're okay doing the things you don't want to do sometimes when you don't want to do them, but make sure you're doing them at a high level. Be able to flip that switch. That's what many of you are learning in this class. And you really have got to come to terms with what's happening with you if you're experiencing any call reluctance or, worse yet, call avoidance. Okay? So let's take a look at the most common reasons for prospecting reluctance. Some people call it creative avoidance of income. Maybe you want to write that down. Creative avoidance of income. Doesn't sound like something you'd normally participate in. But prospecting reluctance is usually due to some of these reasons, okay? Sometimes one of these reasons, sometimes a combination of several, but I want you to put a star next to the prospecting reluctance sins that you're committing, okay? This is a little bit of a lengthy list, but that's because, you know, Tim and I used to have the wall of excuses that we heard on coaching calls. When we moved, we had to paint over the wall of excuses. We had an office wall that we would write on. And it was all the crazy excuses we heard from agents why they weren't doing what they were supposed to do to make the money, okay? It's kind of like the wall of shame, right? And with our graduate students, they know they're not allowed to recycle any excuses. They only get to use it once, okay? Just not acceptable. There's another call that I've done with you guys where we write down some of these things, and then you were to tear them up and flush them. So you send your excuses to the sewer where they belong. But prospecting reluctance, again, usually due to some of these reasons, sometimes it's a combination of these reasons. You need to write them down because identifying the issue is the first step. Then I can help you resolve it, okay? All right, so some people have prospecting reluctance because of, number one, fear of success. That kind of sounds strange, fear of success. Who's afraid of success? Well, here's how that manifests itself, especially short sale students, REO students, new FSBO and expired prospectors. Here's the thing. What if all of a sudden my prospecting works, and now I've got two expired appointments this afternoon, or gosh, maybe I've never even been on a FSBO appointment, but I prospected and now I've got one. Holy cow, what do I do next? Okay. Well, first of all, you can always email me and I'll help you. Okay. You're not going to be going through this alone. But you can see how fear of success, what if it works? Now you're doing all kinds of new stuff that maybe are causing some discomfort. But remember, success comes from doing the things that you don't want to do when you don't want to do them at a very high level. We're here to help you do them at a high level. So number one can be fear of success. Number two, of course, fear of failure, making 10 calls today and getting nothing. Well, why are you making that failure? To me, as a coach, it's a victory that you made the 10 calls. I think that's fantastic, and we know it's a numbers game. Maybe the 11th call is the jackpot. So fear of failure or translating things into failure that aren't really failure. Number three, again, this is our list of prospecting reluctance excuses. Number three, making it all about you. This is the thing that drives Tim and I crazy because this is something that if that's you, you got to work on that internally, okay? Here's what I mean by that. Maybe I don't prospect because I'm afraid of how it's going to make me feel. It's how it's going to make me look. You know, that's an ego statement, guys. Okay, it's not about you. So get yourself into a place of being here of service. Okay. So number three, you know, you don't do it like you should because you make it all about you. You're not necessarily quite there yet on making it all about the client. And that's common. That's normal. Okay, number four, lack of skill. I want you to write it down. Knowledge equals power. Ignorance equals fear. Lack of skill. Knowledge equals power. Ignorance equals fear. Okay? Knowledge equals power. Ignorance equals fear. I just watched the next, the Da Vinci Code movie, The Angels and Demons. Just came out last weekend. Fantastic movie. Loved it. Love seeing all of the great places in Rome especially. But the reason I thought of that is because when you guys go to see that movie, remember knowledge equals power, ignorance equals fear. It was demonstrated very clearly in that movie, this very point. But sometimes people don't prospect because they don't have the knowledge, and that makes them feel powerless. Okay? Number five, fear of objections. Oh my gosh, what if they say something I don't know how to respond to? We'll talk about that in a second. So number five, fear of objections, or a lack of objection handling ability, okay? That can very well be, okay? Again, normal, what's not okay is not doing anything about it, okay? So our list, you know, some of you guys, maybe I haven't come across what your particular excuse is for not prospecting regularly. Number six, fear or worry about how you'll be perceived, okay? And you know what? The obvious answer is what that prospect, the person on the other end of the phone, is thinking about you. But I also see this, how you're going to be perceived by your peers. Some agents have this weird thing about, oh, you know, she's prospecting because she doesn't have enough business. She's prospecting because she has to. She's only calling FSBOs because she's desperate. That's a bunch of malarkey, guys. You call FSBOs because they need your help. That's it. Okay? And because you're smart and you know that at least FSBOs need your help. Okay? So sometimes fear or worry over how you'll be perceived can also be kind of an ego issue. Number seven, maybe you're not clear on the process of prospecting, that it takes several no's to get a yes. One of my great graduate students, Deborah, in Virginia Beach, she was on the Superstar interviews. And you should look her up under Superstar Interview. She does this great thing. She's somebody that sometimes, and she'll admit to this, sometimes she gets into some prospecting reluctance, but then she reminds herself, you know the Row, Row, Row Your Boat song? She likes to sing, row, no, 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 yes, because that's how it goes. You have to hear all those no's, no, 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 yes. But if you stopped at no, 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 no before you heard the yes, you might be able to convince yourself that this thing just doesn't work, okay? So perhaps you're not clear on the process of prospecting, that it actually takes several no's to get a yes, okay? Number eight, you guys are going to get mad when I say this, but it could just be flat-out laziness. You figure you'll wait around for the next referral. One of your past clients has got to want to, you know, list their house this year. What do you mean, one this year? What are you talking about? It should be one this week. When was the last time you called them? Okay. By the way, here's a little side note, a little prospecting thing you can do. I'm going to digress for just 1 minute. You guys all should be calling your past clients with a warning. Okay. This is mainly for my U.S. clients. I'm not sure about the Caribbean and Europe on this yet. Okay. So there's this weird thing that's happening out there. And again, a great excuse to call your past clients. Then we're going to go get back to our list. One of the strange phenomena of this market is that, as you guys know, many people have loans that are adjusting, okay? You guys know this. And the thing is, if you have past clients where their mortgage payment is on an automatic payment cycle, just read several articles about this. You know, let's say that when they got the loan 3 years ago, payment was $1,800. They said, fine, I can handle that, no problem, do an auto draft. $1,800 a month comes out like clockwork. Their rate adjusts, and this could happen on second mortgages as well. Same rules apply. Rate adjusts up by a point. Now it was previously $1,800. Now they've got to pay $2,100. Guess what happens to auto drafts, guys? They don't automatically change. and nobody notifies the client. Very common bank error. What happens is all of that extra money starts to show up in arrears, and nobody notifies them because it was on auto draft. Okay? And when here's the worst part about this is when you put a payment on auto draft, you don't really think about it. Many of your clients just figure it's coming and going. I already set it up on auto draft. This can go on for months. I just read an article about a family that this had gone on for 6 months. They thought they were being good by having it on auto draft. Turns out they got a foreclosure notice. Okay, so this is a great thing to talk to your past clients about. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, prospect or past client, I'm just calling today because I'm really concerned. There's this thing that's happening. I just wanted to make sure it's not happening to you. Okay, and then you can turn that into a, by the way, who do you know that could use my help? And maybe it's them. Okay, so I'm not sure what got me on that tangent, but that's a great reason to prospect, okay? So number 7 was not clear on the process. Number 8 was lazy. Maybe that's what it was. Figure out what you figure that you'll wait around for the next referral, okay? Referrals don't just grow on trees anymore, guys, so don't be lazy. Number 9, waiting to become an expert. This is a major one, especially for students, especially for people who really love education. And there's a lot of you on this call that are like that, which I appreciate about you. But here's the thing. Point number 9 on why we avoid prospecting sometimes. You're waiting to become an expert before you'll make the effort. This is a form of perfectionism. And again, I've got an element of that myself, so I can't be too critical here. But the thing is, in real estate, everything is changing all the time. Do not wait until you feel you're an expert to make the calls. I see this a lot with our short sale students. Oh, I'm afraid of getting a short sale listing. I don't know about calling myself an expert, okay? So sometimes waiting to become an expert before you actually pull the trigger on the work. Okay, so again, prospecting avoidance, number 10, and we're almost through this part of our call. Number 10, listening to and believing what other agents say. Oh, nobody's listing anymore. What? You know, unless they're distressed. You know, I'm not going to work with anybody that's a short sale because short sales never close. You guys know that that's a bunch of bunk, too, hopefully, okay, at this point. But listening to and believing what other agents say. We have a rule at Harris Real Estate University. You're not allowed to start a sentence with, I heard that, unless you're willing to back it up with where you heard it and what research you've done to see whether it's actually true or not, okay? All right, so number 11, lack of belief in your abilities. And number 12, not following a schedule, okay? Now, go ahead and take a second to add your own avoidance tactics. Again, the reason we're doing this is to identify which thing, you're kind of having a challenge with. That way we can help you. Send me an email saying, okay, I raise my hand. I am the one who wants to be a perfectionist before I make any calls. What can I do about that? Okay, maybe we'll make a call about that at some point. Okay, now here is your list of solutions. We just had a big laundry list of problems, challenges, things that hold you back from earning what you desire to earn, what you deserve to earn. And again, for some of you, this is only a problem now and then, okay? But maybe it's a problem on the day where you are supposed to take a listing that pays you $10,000 in commission. So this really applies to everybody, okay? Solutions. Number 1, recognize that prospecting is your job, okay? Number 1, under solutions. Recognize and come to terms with the fact that prospecting as a trusted real estate advisor, doing a great job, prospecting is your job. It's just part of the deal, okay? If you were selling cars, you would be expected to make calls. If you were a pharmaceutical salesperson, you would be expected to make calls. It's part of the deal. You're a salesperson, okay? Now, if you need to rename it and stop calling it prospecting, because, again, some of you hear the word prospecting and immediately break into a cold sweat, start calling it lead generation or money-making activity, okay? Number 2, under solutions, schedule it. Schedule it daily and take it as seriously as you would a listing appointment. You would not cancel anything for a listing appointment. You would not show up late. You would not be, checking your cell phone. You would not be playing online computer poker, whatever it is you guys do for your creative avoidance tactics. You would never do that during a listing appointment, so don't do it during your prospecting appointment. Yes, that requires a higher level of accountability and consistency. That's the point. Agents who are consistent prospectors have consistent income. Agents who are sporadic prospectors have sporadic income. Which category do you want to be in? Okay, I'm guessing most of you want consistent income. We all do. Okay? Okay, so number three, under solutions, celebrate small victories like just making the calls, regardless of the outcome. Don't be so attached to the outcome. Okay? Celebrate the small victories. If you're one of those people that just, you know, has heart palpitations at the very word, you look at your headset and you think, oh my gosh, I can't believe I have to do that today. Okay? Celebrate the small victories. Call 5 past clients every day. Maybe you've never done that before. Start with that. If you're in a severe prospecting reluctance mode, maybe we need to schedule a free coaching call together so I can get you through that a little bit. Okay? Now, under solutions, number 4, and perhaps the most important part of this call, number 4, stop making it all about you. Put yourself into the mindset of service. What are you here to give? How can you contribute by helping this particular prospect out of their situation? So on a typical prospecting your call, you are basically like a real estate doctor. You're diagnosing what the ailment is. Maybe they don't have an ailment. They don't need you, okay? But you're diagnosing what's the issue. Fell behind in payments, just want a bigger house, better schools for the kids. What is the issue? Then you determine, can you help? What's the solution? If you were a doctor, what's the prescription? And then what's the next step, which should be, just like you learned on the previous call, ABC, always be closing. And you can do a kind of a light close on some of these. Maybe that's your issue, afraid to close. That could be on the previous list. Okay, sounds like we need to get together so we can put together a game plan for how to execute all of these things that you're working on, Mr. and Mrs. Seller. You know, you have a house that you've got to sell. That's what I do for a living. It just makes sense that we get together this afternoon at 4. Wouldn't you agree? Okay. Okay, so again, under solutions, number 5, lead generation is like anything in life. Remember, it is a numbers game. I'll give you an example of the typical, some of you guys fall into this category. My great expired hunters, and remember, right around the end of the month, June 1st coming up, I love expired palooza. So of those of you who are really great at expired hunting, of 10 expireds, and again, the point is, realize it's a numbers game. Of 10 expired phone numbers that you have, 4 won't be home typically, 2 won't want to talk to you. So at that point, some of you guys give up. Don't do that. 2 will be leads to follow up on, and 2 should give you appointments. Assuming that you use the script, paid attention, listened to their needs, determined you could help them, and closed for the appointment. So again, it's a bit of a numbers game, guys, of 10 potential expireds. For sure, at least 4 won't be home. Typically, 2 won't want to talk to you for whatever reason. We don't really care. 2 will be leads to follow up on for the future, and 2 should give you the appointments, assuming that you use the script, paid attention, listened to their needs, determined you could help them, and closed for the appointment. So stop focusing on the 8 non-appointments and start focusing on how you can be of service to the 2 that you set. This point can also be applied to lead follow-up. Remember, we really consider lead follow-up here at Harris Real Estate University. We really consider lead follow-up to be in the prospecting category, okay? Anything that if you don't do it, you make less money, really, that's prospecting. It's lead generation. It's lead follow-up, okay? So, again, you have 10 leads to follow up on. Let's say that 8 of them don't even answer their phone. But one of them you get a hold of, they're going to be a little bit longer-term lead, and the other one says, yeah, you know what, the house you showed me the other day, I do want to buy that. Don't focus on the 8 or 9 people that don't want to talk to you guys. This is life. You know, the interesting thing is that most of you guys have kids or spouses or, you know, people in your life that you care about that say no to you all the time, okay? But you don't get crushed by that. You deal with it. And especially those of you guys who have kids and they always say, can I have that, can I have that, can I have that? They're working the numbers game, guys, because they know that the 9th time they say, can I have that, you're going to crack under pressure, right? Okay, so number 6 under solutions, role play your scripts. Practice makes perfect. Doctors practice surgery before they operate. We've all seen those TV shows where the doctor's practicing with the scalpel on the tomato. Thank God they practice on the tomato, right? Pilots are in simulators before they fly you around. Again, thank God for that, right? If you want to be treated like a professional and make professional money, then do what professionals do. Professionals practice, okay? Now, for some of you, you've gotten good at sort of getting into the mindset where you're practicing with the seller on the phone. You know, you've decided, hey, I'm not really prospecting, I'm just role-playing, and whatever happens, happens. And for those of you guys who look at those as prospecting sessions rather than, role-playing sessions rather than prospecting, miraculously, you start to end up with more appointments, okay? It's pretty amazing. You know, Barbara in Miami Beach was just telling me, I know Barbara, you're on this call, she was sharing with me how as soon as she started to be of service in her mind and stopped worrying about how it made her feel, that everything got easier. Okay? It's pretty amazing how that happens. All right, so role play, it helps. Number 7, never, 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 ever, ever, ever give up. The accumulation effect can only settle in when you are accumulating lots of calls, lots of experience. You know, the way you guys do your scripts, because whenever I have a free coaching call, sometimes we practice scripts. The way you deliver your script, after you've prospected for, let's say you've made 50 contacts, and maybe you only got one appointment, that's okay, okay? But the way your script sounds after those 50 practice calls or real-life calls is so dramatically different than the first time you say it. This is called experience. So never give up. The accumulation effect will eventually settle in, and when it rains, it pours, okay? Those of you guys who have been prospecting a long time already know this. Okay, so that's our last point under solutions. I'm going to give a quick review while we still have a couple minutes left. Today we looked at everybody's favorite topic, prospecting reluctance, or what I like to call creative income avoidance. Okay, and we looked at many of the most common reasons, and you were to put a star next to the things that you're guilty of. And what I want you to do for homework is identify what are the things that cause you to have call reluctance, whether that's every day or just when you're tired. Some of you guys that are really great, consistent prospectors, you fall into these traps just when you're tired or you're a little bit burned out. I understand that, but put a star next to the things that you have a challenge with. Then I want you to write down some action items. And if you'd like to email me this, it's my pleasure to look at that and help you with it. So what's the issue? And then what are 3 action items? I gave you some solutions, but you're going to have your own. Okay, so let's take number 1, fear of success. For some of you guys, you're not prospecting because you don't know what you'd do with it if you got it. So maybe the solution is to make a commitment to always email me, your coach, when you get in over your head. Those of you guys who have done that before, you know I'm going to email you right back or call you, okay? And we're going to work with you together on that, okay? Maybe the issue is lack of skill because I never really use a script. That's easy to fix, right? So your action item would be find my scripts, number 1. Number 2, actually use my scripts. And number 3, role play my scripts. Maybe for me, that lack of skill puts me into that ignorance equals fear category, and what I need to move towards is knowledge equals power, okay? So homework is identify what's the issue, what's the challenge, whether that's every day or just once in a while, and then write down 2 or 3 solution items to that. We wrote down some sample solutions, what to do about these things, okay? I'm here to help you guys, but you got to put down what are you going to do about it, okay? And then get somebody to hold you accountable. I have several people who email me every day what their accountability is, what they're doing about it. Okay, I have students that IM me sometimes. That's fine. Or you can find somebody in your office. You know, Inika and Ralph, it's easy for them. Okay, they have each other. Tim and I, it's easy for us. We have each other on the same page in the same business. Not all of you guys are in that situation. Okay, that's okay. Maybe you have a great broker that will hold you accountable. Maybe your spouse isn't in real estate, but they'll still help hold you accountable. You post your goals and what you're working on, the challenges and the solutions on your refrigerator. Any of these things is okay. What's not okay is to do nothing about it, okay? If you want to see change in your income, you've got to make change to your actions. All right, so we're at the end of our call, and today's topic was prospecting reluctance, call avoidance, or more accurately, creative income avoidance, and what to do about it. We talked about how to identify things, and we talked about what some possible solutions are for you. So again, it's okay if you're committing some of these things or you're having some of these challenges. What's not okay is to not do anything about it, because that means it's affecting your income. And you guys all deserve to get to whatever your goals in life are, but in order to get to those goals, you've got to take the actions that are appropriate to get you there. If you have any questions or need any help, don't hesitate to email me, coachjulieharris@gmail.com. You guys are doing a fantastic job. Have a fantastic week. I'll talk to you guys soon.